Hello, Mary A.
Hey, Bookie.
Thank you for joining me again. Just kidding. I know you're part of the podcast. girl. So what are we talking about today?
So welcome back, everyone, to another fashionable episode of Queens of Banter.
Very fashionable. So I'm have my Balenciaga on.
Yeah, she's Gucci down to the
Gucci
socks.
Down to my socks.
Yeah. So today we're going to be discussing balance and how hard it all is.
It is pretty hard, you guys. Yeah, like you guys see us here hopefully every week, you know.
Yes. And we're trying to establish some routines.
Yes, actually let's talk about that really quickly, okay?
Yes.
You guys, we are building some accountability.
Yes.
Our favorite word. So now on, we will be posting every Friday. Hold us to it.
Yeah, every week, every Friday, you'll get a new episode on Spotify and on YouTube.
And you guys know what? We feel the love from y'all. We do feel the love. But, you know, we can feel more love if you hop on our YouTube channel. Give us a little follow, okay?
And a little like.
A little kiss.
And a little comment.
Okay? We'll interact with y'all. We like y'all, okay? We love y'all. So just, you know, hit us up on the socials. But
yes, if you're watching on YouTube right now, comment a green heart.
Yeah, comment. And we're watching you. But yes, back to what we are discussing this week, balance. Okay?
Yes, it's so important.
It's very important. Like, we come here on this podcast every week, and, you know, we act all cute and sexy, and you see us, and you guys are like, oh, they look like two girls who are balancing.
And we have it all together. We don't.
We don't.
Looks are deceiving.
Yeah, and our plates are very heavy.
Okay? Very full.
Yeah.
Never missed a meal, obviously.
Never missed a meal, okay? But, like, honestly, like, we are very resilient people. That is something that I can definitely say. We're very resilient people. We've been through a lot in life, you guys.
For sure. And we come from people who've been through even more.
Yes, we definitely have. And like that kind of brings us to our first topic, actually.
Yeah, a little bit about our background.
Yes, our background. So I was born in Dayton, Ohio. First generation, as many of you guys may know, Nigerian-American, to my two lovely parents, okay? It was me and my older brother. And, you know, I was the only girl. I was the youngest. And I had a lot of responsibilities from a very young age. And I also had just like a lot of expectations from a very young age as well. I just remember like being a kid and like, so my father, you know, in Nigeria, he was a doctor. So everyone is like, you're going to become a doctor. I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm going to become a doctor. They're like, that's what you're going to become. So I'm like, that's what I'm going to become. Okay. So here I am. First grade, second grade, I'm like, I'm becoming a doctor, okay? The grades weren't lining with it, but I was like, I'm still going to become a doctor, okay? Even in high school, the grades still were not that aligned to it, but I'm still like, I'm going to become a freaking doctor, okay? And I'm not a doctor. But I did go into a field of science, and it's interesting. I don't know. Like, some days, like, I always knew from a very young age I wanted to do something impactful. I wanted to help people. Like, I always knew that my mission on this earth is to try to help people, okay? I just thought that being a doctor was the way to get there, you know? Mm-hmm. And also just the fact that, like, being the only daughter, I had to, you know, do a lot. I had to cook. I had to clean. I had to make sure everyone was fed. I had to just, like, do a lot. Like, I was expected to have good grades, expected to, you know, expected to stay away from boys. But then I became 21 and everyone's like, why aren't you married? Oh, I don't know. But just a lot of expectations that are put upon me. But that's a little bit of my background. But let's get to you, Nerea. Can you give me a little bit of a rundown on yours?
Yeah. So me and your background has some similarities, but there are some differences. I was born in Italy and then immigrated to the U.S. at the age of 3. Mm-hmm. For a long time, it was just me and my older sister up until I was 7. And then my parents had my younger sister and my youngest sister when I was 9. And, you know, I have only sisters and no brothers. So, yeah, I experienced people making comments that my mom is supposed to, like, try again for a boy. But she was like, after 4 kids, I think it's enough. And having all sisters was pretty great because we all got equal misogyny. We all got equal bad treatment. So I never had to deal with having a brother who was like the prince or like having to do extra things for a brother or anything like of that matter. And most of the duties, like, my mom took care of my dad for the most part. Like, yes, we would help, but it was mostly her and him that they would, you know, take care of each other. And like, I really wasn't expected to cook for my family, maybe like small meals here and there, but like it was never like a nightly thing. Like, oh, it's Naria's night to cook. That was really not a thing. It's mostly just like be in the kitchen while your mom is cooking type thing. Mm. And growing up, yes, my parents wanted successful kids. They wanted us to do well. They constantly tell us that's why they brought us to America, so we could have opportunities. And yes, I try to live up to that. I just feel like there's a little bit of a disconnect when you have parents who are educated in a third world country and they come to a first world country. They do not know the system that they're bringing their children into. Yeah. And I feel like their guidance can be a little
off skewed.
Yes, their guidance can be a little skewed, and yeah, they could be, it could also just fall short of what we actually need.
Yeah,
and definitely. I feel like parents think, oh, just work hard, get good grades. It's that easy, but it's actually not that easy because other kids, they get tutors. Other kids, they have boot camps or whatever the case may be. And I went to private school, and I know you did too.
Yeah, we did both go to private school. That was another thing. Like, my parents, like, they did very much emphasize education as well. Like, they were not rich people. Like, they worked a lot. Like, I did not, like, no fault on them. I did not get to, like, see them a lot because they were always working, because they sent me and my brother both to a private school because they wanted us to have the best education. But like, I just remember there were so many times where like I would go to him like, I have this problem, and I just remember my dad always being like, this is the difference between you kids and Nigerian kids. When they have a problem, they find a solution. So
I'm like, I'm a kid.
I don't know the solution.
Yeah, know? And those kids are struggling too.
They're struggling too, but like, I guess, like, they don't have another option. I was thinking that, like, I can come to my parents, you know. But, like, it's not even there. It's just the culture that they grew up in. Like, yeah, my dad had a very hard life. Like, his dad died when he was very young, working the farm till he was 20. Finally got to go get education when he was 20 and then became a medical doctor in Nigeria. Like, he had a very hard coming up. So, like, when he, like, when I was addressing my problems, it may have seemed a lot more
smaller,
minuscule, yeah, you know? So
yeah, and I feel like a lot of the times that's where the disconnect is. Like, it's really hard to like connect with somebody who grew up in such a different environment. Like, yeah, I think we downplay that, but like, imagine if like I grew up my whole life in America and then I try to raise kids in like Mexico. I know that there's going to be a disconnect there. There's something that my kids know that I don't know, you know, for even language.
Yeah.
Like, my kids might pick up Spanish and I won't know it, so they'll have to fill me in. Or like, same with English. My parents are more strong in the languages that they spoke in Ghana than they were with English for a while. So there is a disconnect there, and that can put a strain on your relationship with your family.
Yeah, it definitely can. And honestly, like, I do come from, like, even though it's just me, my brother, and then my parents, like, my extended family was also very large. I had a very large extended family. And like, I just remember, like, after my first job, okay, I got a job when I was 16, and that's when I realized, oh shoot, I have to provide for a family. I thought as a 16-year-old, you know, I can just, you know, provide for myself. But I couldn't. Like, and I completely understand. Like, I think it was just my rationale was that, like, no matter how hard I felt like I was, had problems here, like, I was just like, my family in Nigeria, like, their hard was really hard. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, I think I told you this before, like, I'm striving for, like, you know, like,
to thrive.
Yes, I'm striving to thrive, and they're just striving to survive. So, like, it's a little bit different. So, like, I just remembered, like, from that point, like, I realized, like, I had to pay that black tax back, okay? Like, I couldn't just, like, get, like, you know, like, invest back into myself. Yeah. I had to start investing in my family as well.
Yeah, that, for those of you who aren't unaware what the Black tax is the phenomenon of when Black people or minorities, they get to a higher level than the rest of their family, but instead of using the money on themselves, they have to give back to their family, and that stunts them from growing even more.
Yes, it really does, but like, I'm just working with what I have, you know. Yeah. Like, I'm working with what I have, and I put no fault on anyone. Like, it's just like, and it's honestly the fault of the system. Like, mm-hmm. It's the system that failed us. Okay, it's the patriarchal system. It is the racism. It is the capitalism. It is the colors. It's all of these things that failed us. Okay, mm-hmm. It's not my family who needs it. Like, they are actually in need. It's the fact that they live in a society that does not take care of them. Mm-hmm. And like, I think we also talked about like the familial bonds as well.
Okay.
Because of the fact that like they live in a society where like they can't rely on their government. They can't even rely on like other people. They have to rely on their family. Those are the only people who will look out for them. The only people who will protect them. So
that's why sometimes these familial bonds can even become toxic, because you come from a place where that's all you have, and then you move to a different place where people could get more opportunities outside of their family, and people could become resentful. Like, families can become resentful on the people who do better and have to like give back, or they may not understand like how much they're sacrificing to give to them, you know. Yeah. So I feel like sometimes there's that disconnect too, when with the family members that do well, and then the family members that still need to depend on other people to survive.
Yeah. And I mean, hopefully there is a time in my life where, like, you know,
taking care of them won't be so hard.
It won't be so hard. Like, you know, like, I definitely had to learn the lesson of just like, I having a half cup, like when your cup is only half full and you're pouring into other people's cup, I'm just giving you guys, I'm just half-assing everything. Everything is being half-assed. Nothing is having like my full attention. So like the results are also giving half-assed. Okay.
Absolutely.
So like there are times where I do have to like set boundaries, even for myself, where I'm like, you know, you don't have it. Like, you have these expenses. You have like this that you need to do. Like, when it comes to like me, like, I do come from a very giving family. Actually, fun fact about me, my last name means like a family of philanthropists. So, yeah. So like, I do come from a very giving family. And I think that sometimes I lack the education on boundaries when it comes to giving.
You know?
So I became an adult and I had to learn the hard way that my dad used to always tell me, like, if you show people that you're sweet, they'll eat you. They'll eat you through, because it's true. Like,
yeah.
You cannot just show people, like, I'm going to keep giving and giving and giving and giving.
There are so many people who will just take advantage of you straight up, and they don't even care.
Yeah.
They don't even care. They're happy that you gave them what they wanted, and they don't care that you have nothing because you gave to them.
Definitely.
Especially if you never told them that you were giving them your last, they just think that you have like an abundant supply of things that they want, you know?
Got it. I do not have an abundant supply of things that
people
want. So
kind of flowing into our topic of work and finances, I just feel like the push for education came from our parents because of their poverty trauma. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them probably have this conception that like, if you're just educated, you'll do better in life. But mm-hmm. in America, it's not the full connection.
Yeah.
Because in America, when you go to school, you go into debt and you're more poor.
Yeah.
You're more poor trying to get an education than like maybe in Africa, if you can pay for your school fees and actually get the degree if they don't go on strike every 3 seconds. If they're not going on strike every 3 seconds and you get that advanced degree, you'll be better off.
Yeah, that's true. And that's just like, honestly, the economy there in general, like people do not have like exuberant amount of debt there, because like everything is expected to be paid up front.
Yeah.
While in America, we do have like a credit system.
You know? So we're allowed to go below zero.
Yeah.
Before we make money.
That's the thing. It's funny because like everyone's looking at me. They're like, yeah, like she's got money. I have credit card debt, you guys. I have school debt. Okay, I went to school. Like, I'm below zero.
Yeah. We may, like, and the funny thing is, like, they're not going to show you up front how deep in debt you are. You have to go looking for it. You
have to go search.
You have to go and do the research to see how far in debt you actually are.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can have a little money in your bank account, but if you actually look at your full credit report, you're broke.
Yeah, everybody, while you're watching this, after you're done watching this, go look at your credit score. Go look at that credit report, okay? See where you're at. See where you're at, okay? Because we're not the only ones out here who were a little shocked
to see how much money we actually owe the government.
Like, what did I even get? I don't even see the stuff.
Do you I feel like our parents, because they're from a different country with a different society, they don't understand how much things cost school-wise.
Oh, yeah.
If I told them, guys, tuition is actually $13,000 for 4 months, and then two semesters, that's $26,000. Do you have it? No.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
That's
no.
The thing. Like,
so now you're putting pressure on me to go get this college education and go into debt. And you have this mindset that, like, oh, if you just pick the right degree and then you, but even if I pick the right degree, I have to go to more school. To really see that return on investment.
Yeah, that's
so insane. I'll go even deeper into debt.
I think right now, like, a bachelor's degree, like, it's not holding weight anymore, you guys.
No.
It's not holding weight anymore.
A bachelor's degree is like getting a GED.
It's like getting a GED.
Especially if you do not go and pick those subjects that are really going to propel you. And not everybody can be an engineer or software developer or a freaking pharmaceutical sales rep. Not everybody can do that.
Not everyone even needs to be doing that.
Not everybody can go into accounting. And I understand when you are from a lower income background, there's more pressure for you to choose something that you're going to get that return on investment for.
Yeah.
And it sucks that, like, we have a system now where we have to choose between our passion and money. If only everybody's passion was to get into technology, then we'd be good. But we need other people for other things. We need teachers. We need social workers. We need nurses. Yeah. We need all sorts of other things to bolster this society. And I don't think one occupation is more important than the other. Yeah. If you wipe out all the electricians, we won't have electricity. If you wipe out all the teachers, who's going to teach the kids?
Yeah.
Like,
and that's the thing. Like, I just feel like a lot of these careers that, like, everyone is saying, like, you need to go into that to, you know, be profitable and stuff like that. Like, it's just the fact that, like, these people are burning out, okay?
Yeah.
Nurses are burning out. Even me, I'm in research, okay? Patient-facing jobs, we're burnt out.
Any sort of job that includes, like, working with people, there will be burnt out with it, okay? And maybe some people may not see burnout as a real issue, but it is.
It's a real issue. I remember one time I went to a coffee shop to go do my homework, okay? I'm sitting in this coffee shop, and all of a sudden I hear something fall on the ground and someone starts screaming, and I didn't even know what happened. I'm just doing my homework. Next day I see my friend who was also there, and she's like, yeah, did you see that person yesterday? I'm like, what person? They're like, he had an anxiety attack and he broke down at the coffee shop, and I think they had to call, like, the health line for him because, like, he couldn't take it. Like, he was even in schoolwork. We're not even in the career field yet, and we're burnt the F out. We're done. And
yeah. That's why we want to discuss balance. And we're not the masters of balance. We're just here to talk with you about how hard it really is. Because I know a lot of us are getting towards graduation season and we're trying to, like, get things done under the wire, and it's hard. Like, or we're in, like, we're about to hit Q4 for those of you who are, like, in more business jobs. You're trying to get a whole bunch of things at certain deadlines, and it's hard. It's a lot of pressure to do things right and to do things with the deadlines.
Yeah, definitely. It is hard. Like, right now, like, I love this podcast. I love being part of this podcast. It does help me to, like, bolster my creativity and be able to, like, you know, utilize it.
Yeah.
But, like, it's hard. It is hard. Like, there's just a lot.
There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes too.
Yeah.
Like sitting here and talking is half the work, but we also have to go in and edit and post and promote. That is not easy. And with all the work that we're doing, that is why we need you people to be subscribing,
please,
and to be sharing,
please,
and to be liking, so that we can make this process even easier.
Yeah.
And we can really fall into this routine even better. The balance could be better if we had y'all support.
Yeah, because like, let's be honest, like, let's actually like lay out what is on our plate right now. This is the plate. Okay. Here we are, you know, recording our podcast, and this is after we went to work today, and after we also, like, you know, did homework for school today. Mm-hmm. And then I also mentor every other Friday with these kids.
Yeah, Buki is a saint.
I'm not even a saint. I was
she's swindled. An angel.
I was swindled into
she's an
it.
Angel.
Thank you. Mwah. Anyways, like, I do a lot of things. And I do have a capacity. Like, I have, like, there is going to be a line where, and I'm really close to it. So I'm trying my best to just, like,
get some routines.
Yeah, get some routines down so, like, I know what to do next, you know?
Yeah, so that important things don't go by the wayside.
Yeah.
And with that burnout, it definitely bleeds into our interpersonal relationships. I think in the beginning of college, I had no idea, no preparation, no guidance. I was completely deluded when I came to college. I had no idea what I signed myself up for.
Yeah, like, none of us did. We were 18.
I was 17, actually.
Yeah, I just turned 18 that summer, right before college.
And then you have parents who are like, this is the best thing you'll ever do in your life. And you're like, okay, bad. Where's
bad.
The... And then you're like, okay, because my parents are that, let me choose this degree. My first major, I chose biochemistry as my first major.
Wow, look at this smarty pants.
I thought I wanted to do biochemistry because I did really good on that biochemistry test in high school.
Oh shoot, Naria. And it's funny because
it's totally different.
I was like, in high school, I was a anatomy wizard. I was
so you're like
it.
Oh, I'm about to be a doctor.
I'm gonna become a doctor. Like, I become a doctor.
No, literally, I took honors anatomy and physiology in high school. I was like, I got this in the bag. Watch out, Dr. Naria, loading. Okay, but I pull up to college and they're asking me. They want to know, is the water hydrophobic, hydrophilic? They want to know the Krebs cycle. They want to know the Calvin cycle.
They're like, where does this electron go to? I'm like, I don't know. They're like, push the electron where?
They're asking me to that titration.
Any lab, just know any lab I did, it was BS. Sometimes I would just go home and put flour inside of a tube and turn it in. And they would give me some type of credit. Like, I was exhausted. I didn't know what the hell I was doing in a lot of these classes. And the burnout was so real. I was burnt out like 3 weeks in freshman year.
Had no idea what the hell I was doing. Taking 15 credit hours.
18. 18.
Hey, I took 15 my first
They semester. Told me take 18. I said, okay. They said, take this class. I took the classes they told me to take. Did terribly.
Did absolutely terribly. Like, we thought we were somebody. We were nobody.
I was not.
Top of it, they want you to go to tutoring. And I'm like, I'm not going to tutoring because I don't even trust these people. I don't trust these people to tutor me because they're also students.
That was even the reason I didn't go to tutoring. The reason I didn't go to tutoring was because I was too busy trying to make friends with everyone. I was too busy trying to be his friend, her friend, their friend. And most of these people did not even like me like that. To be honest with you, like, I was just, I don't know, I think in high school, like, I made friends for, like, no one was like beefing with me, like, everyone was cool with me. We
were same peaceful. same.
And even in college, like, I never had like beef with anyone. Everything was pretty peaceful. But like, I did fall into a cat because I was still dark skinned, I was still plus size, like, I still was trying to people please hard, and people were eating it up. Okay? They were not really my friends, but like
they loved what you provided.
Yeah, they would take whatever I'd provide. I was doing people's hair for free, providing free food. I was over here.
She was cooking, she was cleaning.
I was the goodwill. You come to me and I was the goodwill, okay?
Which is crazy because I remember the first time I really got close to Buki and she gave me all this food in her house and I was like, girl,
you were starving.
That was very sweet of her to do, but I was very surprised. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think, you know what is so funny? I think we just discussed this. So me and Nara, we spent some time with my friend Aisha.
Yeah.
This weekend. Love her. Aisha, if love you're watching, her down. Love you. But we went to go spend some time with Aisha, and like Aisha really treated us, okay? Like she took us out to dinner, paid for our dinner.
It was so
like,
good.
Set up the couch so that we can sleep. And she did it all for us, okay? Mm-hmm. And like I remember my friendship with Aisha, it was just so great. Like there was no, like we were not holding tabs on each other. Like we would just give, like we were both givers. So like if there's something that I feel like I can give to Aisha, I give it to her. If there's something that she feels like she can give to me, she give it back to me. So like we were had like a great friendship that was very like, you know, reciprocative.
Yeah.
But like that's not all friendships.
That's not all friendships. And I never really had a friendship like that where my friends were giving me a lot of material things. A lot of my friendships are just based on the bond that we had. Oh, we have really good conversation. We have fun with each other. You're my friend. Maybe it's because like my friendships were happening when I was very young.
We were too. We had all of that too. And like it wasn't always just like material things, but it was, we did like, if there was something I just happened to have, or even like our families are really close too. Like,
okay.
And my dad thinks Asia's Nigerian. My dad thinks Asia's Nigerian. And like she would sit there and eat fufu with me. She'd be sitting there eating pounded yam and a goosey soup with me and my family. Okay. And she'd be sweating because it'd be hot. Okay. But like it was just the fact that like everything was calm. Like it was a friendship I could rely on every day, all the time. Never had to feel like I was being used. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I took that into the other friendships,
it was
failing bad.
Yeah.
I felt like, what am I doing? I thought it was me. I was like, what am I doing wrong? Why do I not feel like these people like me? Why do I have to keep giving and giving and giving and giving?
Because they're users and they don't like you.
Yeah. Not everyone did. And that's okay. Like, you know,
I wish I met Buki so much. I wish I had a close relationship with Buki way earlier in college, because if I knew just a fraction of what the hell she was doing for these people, I would have slapped her. I would have been like, get yourself together.
Girl, honestly, I did need a good slapping. There's some situations I wish I can go back to them.
Just slap.
Just slap.
Are you dumb? Are you dumb?
I think I told Nara the B-dub story, and that will always be
that, so yeah, you told the story on the podcast before.
Yeah, I did.
And I'm just like, girl, what? It's like, just, you couldn't. I'm like, I guess y'all can go to that vending machine down in that other building. Like,
you're like, you hungry? I'm hungry too.
Hungry twins.
It was just, I don't know. Like, I think, but now I have learned to set boundaries. And I think it was honestly my friendship, like, with you. Like, mm-hmm. My friendship with you, because when I met Nara, she was a force to be reckoned with.
I was so bad.
I wish you would try Nara, because if you did, she would tat.
You'd be so embarrassed after.
She would, yeah. And I was just like, this is a real person.
That's a real ass
that
girl.
That is a real ass bitch right there. I loved it. I think I loved it. And I was like, how is she doing this? Like, it almost felt like you're like, and so what?
And what about it? And that's the type of attitude you need to have as a woman, especially because people are constantly going to try to test you and assume that you're weak. So, but that's why you have to puff up that chest and tell them to go F themselves sometimes.
And that is just, and you see, I feel like,
especially if they can't beat you up.
If they can't beat me up, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
But that's the thing. Like, I feel like that is one of my favorite things I've learned, honestly. Like, I feel like I am so much more confident. I'm so much more confident because, like, beforehand, I was looking for, you know, just external validation. But, like, when you start to learn, like, things about yourself and things that you love about yourself, and even just, like, I used to do this thing where I was, like, because I think back about like who I was as a kid and I'm like, she doesn't deserve this. So why would you? You are her and she didn't deserve that. So why are you letting people treat you like that? You know?
Yeah.
And like now I really won't let people try me like that.
Yeah.
Like, and like, if you do, let's do it. Yeah. Let's rock it. Let's go for it. Okay. All yeah. day, any day.
Yeah. Please don't try to disrespect me because I will disrespect you back.
Yeah. Okay.
And then speaking of this topic, we have to talk about the men. We gotta talk about the men, my least and favorite topic at the same time.
Oh my god. Okay. Yeah,
I love men, but I hate men too.
Oh my god. Yeah, you really said it though, because like it's crazy, because like I think one day I had this conversation with my dad and I was just like, so you want me to get married? He's like, yeah, it's time for you to get married.
It's time.
I was like,
it's time.
How do you want me to get married right now? I never, like, you told me not to date. You told me do not date these boys, okay?
You don't date the boys, but you marry the men.
But then how do I have any type of, like, understanding on how to be in a relationship? I don't know how to be in a relationship. You know why? Because I have no experience. If I was a job hiring a candidate and they put no experience, why the hell would I hire you? If anything, I would use you. And I was being used.
Okay, back on the men topic or the dating topic. Like Buki said, when I was growing up, yes, boys were out of the question. Don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you get to college, no supervision. Okay.
No supervision.
And then on top of it, like you go to a school where like you're not getting picked. And then you go to college and then like you're around more people. So your options increase. So I get to my freshman year and I'm like, wait, boys like me? Oh my god, boys think I'm cute. And I was like, okay, period. I get a boyfriend. Big mistake. What was I doing? I thought that's what you do when you like a boy, you get in a relationship with
she
them.
She was week zero, week one, week two.
I don't think I even started classes. No, classes did start because it was in September. So classes started for 2.5 weeks, had a boyfriend.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is mad.
The crazy thing is I was not expecting that. I was just living my life. He came to me. Okay.
Funny girl.
So I was very inexperienced and then I became experienced later on, like in college. Like, but at least I knew in like my gut that this was not the guy for me. I knew it. As soon as I met him, I knew this is not the man for me. But like I had to manage it small. I had to manage it. Like nothing was happening in that relationship, guys. Normal relationship, like the relationships I have now compared to that one, night and day. I would even say Earth and Pluto. It's so Pluto. Different because like the relationship, my very first exclusive relationship with a man, trash. Not even trash, landfill, okay?
Not a landfill.
It was so bad. Landfill? It was so bad. That relationship taught me how to, one, stand up for myself.
Yeah.
Two, it's okay to say no. And three, just stay away from the boys. Stay away. But I didn't stay away too long because I got a second relationship the summer after my freshman year. I don't know. I was addicted.
Yeah, you were. You know what? I remember when I met you, I was like, so she can't be alone. She don't like it. She don't like being alone.
I don't know. I don't know what was wrong with me.
No, it's a thing. Like, there are people who, like, have to be in a relationship. You know what I'm saying?
And the thing is, like, I didn't even have, like, I got to a point now where I'm like, oh, I don't need one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm in one again.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Like, I think, like, and this was definitely recently. It was definitely recently where, like, I was just sitting there. I'm like, I'm okay by myself. Like, I'm really okay.
Yes, like, because there's some wicked things happening to women in relationships.
Wicked. Like, yeah. The thing about it is, like, and you guys, I hope you guys are proud of me. I'm starting therapy next week.
Woo!
Thank you. Okay, but, like, there was just so much trauma. There was just so much trauma coming from, like, friendships that used me, relationships that used me, just various amounts of people who exploited me. So, like, I don't take any ounce of BS. Like, it's like, even if I'm talking to someone and I smell BS, I even, like, if it even looks like BS, if it look if it could be BS, I'm leaving. Like, I cannot stay there because it's just so hard for me to, like, differentiate it sometimes.
Yeah, you know? And you know what's so crazy, too? Like, even in that, like, over self-preserving behavior, trauma response.
It definitely is.
And, like, it's not all bad to put yourself first. I don't think so at all. But then again, we always have to realize that we're dealing with humans. And humans are going to human.
Yeah.
And they're going to human hard. And it's and the men are going to men.
The men will men. They will men.
They will always men. Every day. Without fail.
And that's the thing. I think, like, my number one thing has always been, like, you know, if you make a mistake, makes sense, okay? But the thing about it is, like,
I tell you something hurts me and you do it anyway, you hate me.
You don't like me.
You hate me bad.
And, like, just people who are not open. Like, people who are just completely closed off. Like, they don't want to hear what you have to say. They already have their mind made up. Like, they think that, like, you're beneath them.
Yeah.
They just think that you're beneath them at that point.
Yeah.
And, like, they think they cannot learn anything from you. You're just an accessory, okay? That type of thing, like, that...
It cannot come in my orbit.
It can't.
And I feel like as I get older, the stricter I'm becoming.
I am stricter, and that's okay.
And it's so crazy. Like, even, you know, recently, I'm not going to get into it.
You don't have to.
But even recently, the things that I've experienced, I'm like, damn, I thought I killed these demons, but they came back to bite.
They always
come back to bite.
It's like you think that they're gone, but they're just lurking.
They're lurking in the back. Waiting. They're right there.
They are.
And you have to turn around, and if you make a misstep, they're ready to grab your ankle.
They're ready to grab your ankle, and they start dragging you.
Dragging you back. The demons are back.
They really will, but, like...
So I'm wrangling my own little demon right now.
And you know what? Like, I think the thing about it is, like, it's not that I'm not open to being in a relationship. I am open to being in a relationship. It's just the fact that right now,
the right relationship,
I think it's just like, I am just doing me. Like, I'm outside, and if I meet someone outside, cool. And, like, I always keep saying, like, I will never lose investing in myself, you know. Neria. Hey, and yo,
shut up.
But back to what I'm saying.
Over here speaking, anyway, like,
it's fun.
Like, you know something.
It's fun. But yeah, like, I really am just trying to invest in myself, especially because, like, we're talking about balance. Like, I do have a lot. I have a lot on my plate. So I'm just over here investing as much as I can in myself right now because, like.
And I'm in the same camp. Like, even though, like, yes, I'm in a relationship, I'm putting myself first.
Period.
At the end of the day. Like, because I have already done the sacrificial relationship. And what did that get me? What did that get me? I'm on a podcast.
Talking about our problems, but.
Like, I mean, I feel like things happen for a reason, but.
They do.
Not too much. Not too much.
Okay.
I don't have to add all the reasons, okay? Like, you don't have to be the reason all the time.
Are you talking to someone personally on the camera?
No.
Oh.
I'm not.
Okay.
Shut up. You're trying to be messy. What you being messy for?
You will be messy too, so I'm being messy back.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, thank you. But honestly, back to what you were saying, like, everything happened for a reason. Like, everything happened for a reason. Like, a lot of lessons I learned hard, but, like, they were lessons I learned and I still use. I utilize them this, like, you know, to this day. So... I don't regret much. I do not. There's very little that I, like, regret happening to me or, like, things I've done. I'm just glad that, like, I can move forward from them. Like, I can become a better person because of them, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, honestly, what's happened, like, the things that, like, I've went through make me treat other people
better. With more empathy.
Empathy, grace, you know, kindness. Like,
absolutely.
Sometimes this world is lacking in those categories. So I think, like, it's funny. I was talking to one of my coworkers the other day, and she's like, you know, she's like in her 40s, and I just be having conversations with anyone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, when I talk to you, I think we're the same age. I'm just like, We're not. I just, like, the thing about
it. You're just a little wise.
Yeah, but, like, my wiseness comes from trauma.
And on top of it, learning from other people's mistakes. Learning from other people's mistakes. And also listening. Actually listening to people's mistakes and not being arrogant to think that what happened to somebody can't happen to me.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. And even just, like, I love talking to people from all ages. I love it. Like, I just remember, like, I used to work as, like, a PCA where I wiped butts. Yeah, let's not get into that.
She wiped those old booties.
Y'all, like, the thing for different money so I can get through college, okay? Like, I used to have this one client. I know, crazy.
You know, same. I can't even judge because for me to get through college, I had to learn how to draw blood.
Same. I did, too. I drew blood.
And wiped butts after?
No, I was a PCA. I wiped butt first, and then I was like, I don't like this. Let me go draw blood.
Yeah. You guys told me nurses have to wipe people's butts.
You said,
I knew that nursing would never be in my future. I don't care how much money you make. I'm not wiping wrinkly butts.
You can't do it.
And I know the poop be smelling.
Y'all, working at the hospital, that whole floor... Let one person have feet if that whole floor
is stinking. It's stinking.
I'd be over there thinking I'm gonna vomit. I'd be like, ugh.
It's so nasty. It smells like open booty and toilet. It's not good.
It's not good.
Shout out to the nurses.
Shout out to
we
the
salute
nurses.
You. Thank you for being the backbone of the
we
hospital.
Appreciate your service.
But I can never do that service.
Listen, not
respectfully, of course. Okay?
No, honestly. But yes, back to where were we even at?
We're talking about the things we used to do for money.
Oh, PCA. My God. PCA, yeah. I've done a lot. Like, I've worked so many jobs within my life. I worked as a Starbucks barista. We don't support them no more.
F Starbucks.
Free Palestine. All day, every day. Okay. Yeah. But I worked as a Starbucks barista. Then I worked it was at this church where I would help teach kids after school. And then from there, I worked as a PCA, phlebotomist at the hospital, then at a blood bank, and now research. So I've been working since I was 16. I've been working.
And Bookie and I have had two of the same jobs.
We have.
Three of the same companies. We actually work for the exact same people right now.
We do, actually.
But it's different departments, but we work for the same people.
But you know what actually gets me through my day sometimes? Me and Naria, she'll text me. She's like, you have lunch?
And she's been telling me no lately. She's not really into me.
I had a lot of deadlines for my job lately. But me and Naria, we be meeting up. We be cackling. Everybody be like, what are these two girls talking about in the cafeteria?
We love each other.
We just be besties.
We just love each other. We couldn't get enough. We had to make a show together, too.
We had to make a show. We had to live together. We have to make a show together and we have to work together okay?
Because I can't get enough.
Listen, okay?
Queens of banter.
When you see Naria, you see me. When you see me, you see Naria. Okay? But I appreciate your friendship. I truly do, Naria.
Yes, I definitely appreciate this girl down.
Period.
I don't know where I would be without you.
You'd be fine.
I wouldn't.
No, but honestly.
I really wouldn't. I would have probably moved back in with my parents.
Oh. We're not doing that.
I'm being dead serious.
No, because I'm being dead serious. You guys, that's the one thing, I can always think about is just the fact that, there's so many things that happen, coincidentally, but they're not coincidences. The way that life, if that moment didn't happen to you, you would be somewhere completely different. You know?
Completely different. And I love where life is kind of leading me right now. Mm. I love kind of the journey I'm on, even though there are some rocky roads.
Rocky road.
And there's definitely some winding roads, some rocky waters. Okay. It's rocky. Even though this journey has been really hard, I feel like it's the relationships you have along the way that really make things easier.
It definitely does. I feel very fortunate. Okay. I did talk about how I did have a lot of friendships that were not fulfilling. But I had to have them. I had to have them to have the
contrast.
Yeah, to have the contrast. Now I know what it is to be valued in a friendship. Now I know being, considered. People having a considerate friend. So, I have all of these lessons I had to learn to know, these are good people in my life versus, these are people who I probably do not want in my life, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't ever look at anything, thinking, oh, woe me. This is so sad. I feel like we all have traumas. Like, we all have things that...
There's bad things that happen to us. And if bad things haven't happened to you, they will happen. Just wait a little longer.
Just wait a little longer. That's funny.
I'm being dead serious.
No, it's true. It is true. Like, it's just life. It's part of the human experience. We're all going to face hardships. And it's learning how to face them. It's learning how to face them, how to fight back, you know, how to.
Yeah. And that something that I kind of wrote down earlier was kind of like when I was younger, going through college for the first time, all my accountability came from my parents. Right.
Yeah.
But as you get older, your accountability comes from the consequences you're going to face if you do not, you know, push yourself to do the things you have to do. Mm. If you don't go to work,
you get fired.
You'll get fired.
Which will be broke.
You won't have income, and you're gonna struggle. Then when you get that next job, you'll know exactly how to hold tight and act right.
Yeah, you okay? know it's okay. Nair, I'm gonna call you out a little.
No,
I'm gonna call you out.
No, let me call myself.
No, let
out.
Me call her out.
Okay? Let me call myself
our
out.
First job, okay? So let me explain this job a little bit, okay? So when I met Nair again, okay, I worked at a hospital, and we worked the 4 a.m. to 2 p.m. shift.
2 p.m.
Okay?
Shift.
And
10 hours.
It was 10 hours. Hard. It was hard, okay?
And I had to do that at the tender age of like 19.
Yeah, I think I was like 20 when I started that job. But this is the thing, okay? It wasn't even like 1 month into the job, me working at the job, Naria gets fired. Why did Naria get fired? Naria could not show up to work on time. She couldn't show up to work. And the thing about it was like, I understand because you used to, how would you get, you guys were Ubering to work every day. But then when I started working there, I'm like, oh, it's cool. I'll just take you guys to work. Like, I'll drive because I drive anyways. Mm-hmm. So I would pick them up at like 3:45 in the morning. We would, you know, book it to the hospital and everything like that. But yeah, you got fired.
I did get fired. Before Buki even started working on this job, I was already on thin ice.
She was already on thin ice. By the time I got there, they said,
You need to get out. We got your replacement on the phone. Buki was my replacement.
Damn, sorry.
They're like, this girl's fucking up. We need to get somebody better. And they got her. And she ended up working there for way longer than I could have.
I worked there for like about a year.
Not only I couldn't show up to that work on time, I also had to make sure I get my beauty rest.
Oh my god. So sometimes Nary, okay, I can't even lie, I did this too. But okay, so we worked the 4 a.m. shift. We would do morning rounds, draw all this blood, and then we just find a spot and we'd be sleeping. Yeah.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about calling out of work I could just sleep.
Yeah, she did.
I was like, y'all can go. I ain't going to work today.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing, like, I can't lie to you, PTO is so nice.
And sick okay,
time is so nice.
What's so crazy is that the days that I didn't show up to work, they would put PTO on the schedule. So I thought I was getting my PTO.
No, you were not getting paid.
I wasn't getting paid, child. I thought you were paying.
Nah, that girl was broke.
I was big broke.
That's why I was over here giving her, you know, cups of rice.
She was giving me rice and turkey, ground turkey, because I had nothing in the fridge. Girl. I was eating my soul for dinner. Okay,
yeah. It was during COVID too, and like Naria, like I would go to work and then I'd come get Naria and we just be hanging out at my place all the time. Okay.
Yeah, those were the days.
Those were the days.
I eventually got a new job, she guys. Did. And the better job was good. Like
it was not good.
Okay. I'm saying it was good because it was COVID times.
Oh, yeah.
It was good because it was COVID times. And I couldn't even keep that job because I had no car.
Yeah.
Okay.
They did end up-
I have struggled in this life. If anybody's watching this and they want to donate a 2023 Honda CRV,
hey,
make sure you DM me, okay?
Yes. Our Cash App is linked below. I'm just kidding. No.
The Cash App will be linked below. It will be linked below.
She'll put the Cash App on there. If
anybody wants to donate, you know where to go, okay?
Listen, hit up Naria personally. She, you know, honestly, I understand, like, you know, the car thing. It's difficult. But me and Naria, we go on our rides. We be riding. We cruising the town.
We try. Try to cruise the town, but it's hard.
Yeah, it do be hard. But honestly, like I mean, I'm glad that we met at that hospital. Yes, you got fired a month later, but I already knew that I wanted to be your friend. I already knew it.
I don't even know what even enticed her to be my friend. I'm a mess.
Nah, it was fun. It was fun because I told you, like, it was that energy where it was just like, And so what? Like, I do what I want. I'm a cool girl. I'm a bad kid. I'm both. It was that.
It wasn't even, I didn't feel like a bad person, though.
You know what sometimes it is, too?
What?
There are people who, like, I can kind of, like, understand, like, who they are, their personalities. And I'm like, okay, that messes with me. That doesn't mess with me. Mm-hmm. You were confusing.
What? Really?
It's confusing. Really? When I say confusing, it's not even a bad thing. It was, like, confusing in the way that, like, I'm like, how is she doing this?
Doing what?
She liked
it. Doing what?
Like, you just had your, like, if someone were to try to, like, step at you, you'd be like, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, how'd you say that?
When? Can you give me, like, an example of, like, early on?
Like, when you would just do your thing?
When?
Remember you and your first roommate? Your housemate.
I had several.
You did. that was another thing. Naria, okay, so she lived in this house, okay, and mm-hmm. they would give her a roommate. Roommate would be running for the hills.
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault. It really wasn't. The thing about it was that, like, I'm so used to, like, when I confront people, I'm like, hey, like, I know you didn't mean to, but, like,
I'm like, I know you meant that shit. Why the fuck did you do it?
It was that where I was like, she could just say what she wants to say, no consequences.
She can't beat me up.
I just remember Miss Girl who threw away your peanut soup.
Yeah. So I had an old roommate who she decided to get in the freezer. I was already living there for months. Gets in the freezer, buys a bunch of groceries, throws away my food that was in the freezer first, puts her shit in there, and then I confront her. I'm like, hey girl, I was hungry after work and I couldn't eat the food that I wanted to eat. My mother prepared me a nice meal, ground nut soup. I had it in the freezer because I didn't want it to go bad. Miss Girl put it in the trash can. I'm like, sis, I see that you put my food in the trash can. And she's like,
I thought it went bad.
I'm like, how did it go bad? It's in the freezer. And it wasn't yours to throw away in the first place, okay? So she, in a couple of days, she moved out.
People cannot take confrontation well at all. They just over here.
And she left a bunch of stuff in the apartment.
She did.
Very good night. After nice
she
things.
Moved out, me and Naria, we were feasting. She left all her food there. She was running so fast, she didn't even pick up the food that she bought.
She didn't even take the cups or the plates that she.
Listen, we're still using. Thank you, Miss Girl. If you ever see us, thank you. We're still
thank
using
you.
This today. Okay.
To this day, we're using the stuff that you left.
We enjoy.
It was very good. She left some Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, she did.
She left some.
The Crystal Light.
Yes, Crystal Light. She left macaroni bites. Like, it was a good time. And I didn't have to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, and we were really broke. Good. We were broke. I was living off of, like, $700. I think it was, like, $700. How much was?
Those checks from Christ Hospital were abysmal, okay? They used to pay us about $730 every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
$13.50 an hour. And yeah. Before COVID times, I actually was doing pretty good on that salary.
I was.
I actually had money left over.
I didn't have money left over.
I had a little bit. I used it on DoorDash, but.
Crazy.
But. This is all to say balance.
We had to learn it, okay? Like, clearly, in our younger ages, like, we did not balance.
Okay? Oh, we were just vibing.
We were vibing.
We had no guidance.
None, okay? Like, but now, like, I am so glad that, like, I'm where I'm at. I'm not where I want. Like, I'm not, like, 100% where I want to be. But I can see that, like, I'm not where I was at. I have grown from where I was at. And, like, I love it. I love the fact that, like, I can see myself and see the value I have as well. When I was younger, I had very little value for myself, so I was letting people treat me any kind of way. But now, like, I know, like, I'm very valuable. I'm very kind. I'm very considerate. Okay? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm beautiful. I'm all of that. These are things I can say to myself and actually believe it. You know when they say manifesting? Like, when at first there, it's like, you just need to say kind things and you gotta manifest. I'm just like, okay.
You thought I was BSing?
I thought you were BSing because I'm like, how am I gonna say, like, girl, blah, 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 and I'm just like, whatever. Like,
it's all about programming your subconscious.
It is.
If if it's so easy for you to believe all these negative things about yourself, you have to circumvent that with positive things. Mm. You program your subconscious and that'll become your conscious mind, and then you'll move that way. If you believe that you're ugly and worthless and you have nothing to offer, that's how you're gonna move.
Yep.
But if you believe that, oh, I'm beautiful, I'm valuable, and people love being around me, that's how you're gonna act. And mm-hmm. then that's going to inform your reality. So that's why I say, like, and I used to think it was kind of like fake too, but honestly, like, it's once not. You believe it, you just can't shake it.
You can't shake it because yeah. like now I genuinely believe these things about myself, and now like I see myself putting more work into myself because of the fact that I'm like, I'm worth the work, I'm worth it, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that's why, you know, me and Aaron went back to therapy. We're two therapy girls. Yes,
we're back. I started therapy for the very first time, and it's good. I think it's going to help me, and I'm excited to see where it takes me.
I'm excited to see where it takes you. I'm excited to see where it takes me. I've never done therapy. I was definitely in that age where my parents were like, what is therapy? What is mental health? What is this stuff going on right now? Okay. But like, I'm glad that like I did not internalize that too much, because like I needed help. Okay. I needed help. I just never seek the help because I was just like, why use my money on that? And I'm not using my, I have health insurance. I just wasn't even using it yet. But now I'm using my health insurance. Okay.
I have to beg her.
Yeah. Honestly, y'all know when you turn 26, you get booted off that plan, your parents' plan. So I'm like, now that I'm 25, turn 26 in July, I'm doing everything. Okay.
You better.
Everything I can do with this, I'm going to go do it. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys are like, where's Buki at? I'm just getting a random exam because I can.
You better get that exam. You better go get that mammogram.
I'm going to get them all.
Better go get that colonoscopy.
Get the PAP, get the mammogram, get the eye exam. I'm over here getting my therapy paid for. I'm doing it all, y'all.
Yeah, you
okay?
better.
Okay, but you it's better. Been, it's been good. It's been good. Like,
yeah.
I feel like, wow, let's see where I'll be in 6 months, you know?
She'll be shining bright like a diamond.
Like a diamond.
Shine bright like a diamond. Diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. That's how she's gonna be.
Listen, okay, me and Nara, we always be joking, like, we're gonna level up to a level that you're gonna have to talk to our assistants to get to us.
Oh my God, that's we manifest it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Because when I tell you, oh my God, when I see these other girls on the internet with their routines and their aesthetic editing and they're beautiful, I'm like, that's me. Yeah. I'll send Buki people, I'm like, look at her fridge.
You said,
do you see her countertop?
Yeah, we just be selling random stuff.
That's gonna be my countertop.
Absolutely.
Even a bigger one.
Even bigger. Think of it. Double it. Because listen, I'm like, there are so many people in life who have gotten what I wanted. Why am I the exception? I'm not the exception. I'm gonna become everything I want to become in life, and no one's gonna stop me.
Exactly. And another thing too, like my mother, for example, she is 50. Okay. Yeah. And she has a business, and her business, she did not start off making thousands and thousands of dollars a month. She had to start small and grow it over time.
Yeah.
And now she's in her 50s. She's bought the home she's always wanted. And she's also been able to finish up the house in Ghana that she started building 20 years ago. So I think we also have to put into perspective how much time success really even takes. We're even in this like microwave society thinking that like we think everybody's like an overnight success, but there's people who are, their dreams were 15, 20, 30 years in the making.
Yeah, a dream deferred.
Exactly. It's not a dream denied.
It's not a dream denied. I like that. A dream deferred is not a dream denied. Okay.
No, there's also this woman that I follow on YouTube. Her name is Fumi Void, and she's like in her 50s. She started modeling in her 50s.
Love it.
She has like a huge Instagram page.
Love
like
it.
She had her child, her first and only child, in her like 40s. Like this woman, she was so resilient, and she waited so long for her dreams to come true, and she never gave up. And the same thing with our late Tina Turner. Tina Turner did not like have a sold out stadium until her 50s. Like,
wow.
And she came from domestic violence, exploitation, a lot of rejection, but she never, ever gave up.
Yeah, even Viola Davis, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are so many people who, like, I definitely look up to because of the fact that, like, resilience, like, and when I'm talking about being a resilient person, you have to see a lot, okay? Like, you have to be really comfortable with being rejected. You're going to have to be really comfortable with just not having things happen the way that you're expecting in life, okay? And it will hurt. It will hurt. At the time, you may feel the wind in your chest being knocked out, okay? You yeah. may think that this is as low as you can go, and you may even go lower. You may even go lower, okay?
Yeah.
But that climb to the top, once you get there, you will appreciate where you're at.
You'll appreciate, and then on top of it, there's so much humility that comes into, like, having the success that you know you've been striving for.
Yep.
Like, if you know that you put in, like, years and years and years of work into something, and then you finally get to the pinnacle of what you're looking for, like, I feel like it makes you appreciate it so much more. And on top of it, like, you'll know how much work it came into it, so that, like, you won't be arrogant about the situation. People will be congratulating you about something that you've been working on for, like, 20 years.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And it's crazy.
And you know what? Like, before we end this podcast, like, the other day, like, I was just chilling in the living room, and, like, I showed my friend Chimamanda Adichie. We should... Yeah, I was showing my friend We Shall Be Feminists by Chimamanda Adichie. And that, I remember being a kid and listening to it and it already being impactful. Listening to it as an adult, it just really brought it home to me. Like, I am a woman, but I'm so much more than that. I'm more than what society will tell me that women are, okay?
Yeah.
I just know within myself, I always knew, even when I doubted myself, even when I thought less of myself, I always knew that I was brought to this world for a reason. I'm not going to leave it until I get that done, okay?
Absolutely.
It will get done. And we both will get it done, Naria.
Yeah, we'll get it done together.
We got this. And we appreciate you guys tuning into our episode again, Queens of Banter. And we will see you guys next week, Friday.
Bye.